Good afternoon, brother. Everyone who's here, welcome. The warm day outside, coach keep it nice and cool inside. Welcome to all those who are tuning in by the internet. We're glad to have you celebrating the Sabbath with us today. And welcome to our guests. Brother, we live in a time like no other in history. The world around us is in chaos. Economic conditions, even though they're better for the U.S. than for most other countries, are in decline. Some of us are feeling the results of this. We have some of the best, if not the best, health care in the world, yet we still get sick and with unthinkable maladies, and some of us even die from them. This even happens to those of us in the Church of God, and we at times can't figure out, so why me? Why is it happening to me? Well, I'm doing all that I know to do, we might say. That is everything God has revealed to me, and I'm still suffering. Why me? When we suffer, it can even get to be as difficult as possible. We tend to let our priorities get out of focus. When we drift out of focus, we can find ourselves having a bad day, getting angry over things which are beyond our control, and we can't put off doing something. We can end up with things that we need to do for too long, and we find we can't meet deadlines or obligations that we've made to ourselves or to others. And we get angry about that. I know I do. I have a problem with that. Sometimes we get overcommitted. We find ourselves in a funk over the problems and we face and we can't seem to shake it. That funk, that is, that being down. Can we do something about this? And if so, what? Let's see what we can do today. Have you ever used an old style projector to view slides and video? Before we had the VCRs and the DVDs, DVRs, we used to have slide projectors and film. Sometimes when we set those things up, you know, it almost took a knowledgeable technician to set everything up so that we had everything in proper focus. Those of us who are 40 to 50 years old remember those machines. The cameras required a variety of lenses for different settings, conditions, types of photography, like whether it's color or black and white. Then the lenses had to be focused for the type of lighting, distance, and other factors. Well, now we have cameras that are built into our smartphone. They do all that work for us. Well, projectors had to be dealt with similarly to cameras so we get proper focus. They require placing at the right distance from the screen in order to get a clear, crisp picture of what we're supposed to be looking at. Otherwise, the images would come out blurred and unrecognizable, out of focus. Sometimes we become like those photographs or projections in our lives. Sometimes we like those photographs or projections that come out with less than the acceptable quality desired. Some issues in our lives can be straightforward. Sometimes we get bogged down and we have problems that boggle our minds. However, it is after all a matter of focus. What do we do about it? How do we concentrate on? What do we concentrate on? Notice the image when we are set up for receiving projections from another church area. If the projector is set too far back or too close, so the lens is turned just right, just a little bit off kilter, the image becomes blurred. You can't recognize it as well. It's not as crisp and clear as it should be. And we get like that too, when we're not focused properly. You know, I've used that term focus a number of times already, and you might have guessed that's the subject of today's message. Let's compare our life's situations to this for a moment today. Our focus. We look into the scriptures for advice on dealing with the problems we face. After all, in Matthew 6:33, Christ told us what to do. He told us how to stay in focus. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And the rest of this will be added to you. Well, what is this? Go back a few verses and it tells you what it is. The cares of this life, even the Gentiles seek after those things. But if we seek God's kingdom first and foremost, God will take care of us. The King James Version puts it this way, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I like the way the Message Bible puts it. It's a little bit different wording. It puts a little bit better meaning to it, or different meaning to it. Steep your life in God's reality. God initiative. God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. In other words, don't fret over physical things so much that it takes us away from our responsibilities to God and family, church, jobs, etc. He knows our needs and will continue to provide them. But we say sometimes, no one understands what I'm going through. Nobody's trials are as great as mine. That's a statement Mr. Brian made last week in his sermon. Remember that? I thought I was the one who coined that phrase about 50 plus years ago. I guess not. We could probably say maybe great minds think alike, or maybe God inspired our minds to think like this for the sake of getting on with the job ahead of us and get the message across to us, overcoming our immediate trials. Well, we look at some examples in the scriptures of those who have gone before us, and we may think, well, they didn't have to face the trials we have today, but they did. Kings and priests, leadership of the people of the New Testament, they turned away from worshiping God to worshiping idols, because some of them married outside of the community, outside of the people God said that they should be married. They took wives of pagan lands, and these were pagan worshipers of pagan gods. And eventually those wives turned them away from the real God to worshiping their gods and supporting them, setting up temples and still worshiping them. The poor leadership that they had caused the subjects to do the same thing. There were only a few kings in Israel's history who had a heart like God desired from them, those being like David and Asa. Both of them had their share of problems, but they were at least loyal to God. Their hearts were loyal. Israel's history has been cyclical in nature, and something I didn't know until going through this in personal study, as well as being taught at Ambassador Bible College. It ran in stages. Number one, they had peace. They got to provide that. Number two, they started going astray and sinning. Number three, they were punished for being sinning, and they were taken into captivity. They weren't allowed to worship God the way they used to. And they were forced to worship pagan gods. And their slavery became very horrendous. Number four, they came to realize their sins and cried out to God for deliverance. They finally realized, hey, we had it better when we were worshiping God. So they had a type of a form of repentance. Number five, God sent them a deliverer, and they began to obey God again. Number seven, peace and prosperity followed. But then, guess what? The cycle started all over again. They lost their focus. Their focus was basically on getting to the promised land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and doing all that they could and needed to do in order to get there. there's all self-seeking, pretty much. And we're called to a different calling. We have a different focus, much more involved than Israel was. We're called to be the first fruits of God's kingdom, not to inherit a physical land promised Abraham and his descendants. Our focus is to do the work that Jesus commanded the apostles and early Christians and disciples to do. Go to the world and preach the gospel, make disciples, and feed the flock. Well, we might try to shrug some of this off at times and say, oh, this is a work of the ministry. We have people at the home office that do that kind of stuff. We don't have that responsibility. But we look back at the history of the church, the early church, and we see it wasn't just the apostles doing the preaching. The people heard the messages and they took it back to their home areas and talked to family and friends. And those who were being called believed. They heard them talking about this Messiah that was prophesied to come and the works that he was doing, healing the sick, casting out demons, teaching about repentance and forgiveness, reconciliation to God, and the coming resurrection. We have our roles in supporting this and even doing some of it. We might also say, but when I did that at first when I came into the church, and look what it did to my family relations. Tore our families apart. Well, God didn't promise it would be easy getting. Jesus even said that the message he was bringing, it would set fathers and mothers against children, against each other. A man's worst enemies will be those of his own household. Sometimes that's the case. But it's only when I say, well, I have a problem in my own right now which prevent me from doing anything I need to do here or that you're asking me to do. My problem is so great, I can't concentrate on that particular thing right now. Well, do we look at our trials as being worse than or harder than to bear than anyone else's? And we don't want to minimize what somebody else is going through, that's for sure. But that'd be another thing that would take us out of focus, too. We're to help each other through trials, and that's hard to do if we don't communicate with one another and let each other know what we're going through, that we're having trials. We need to communicate without getting too graphic about what we're going through. Sometimes what we are going through is, the details are nobody else's business but our own and God's. We also need to seek from those who have been through trials like we are having before, those who are willing to share their expertise, you might say, their experiences and how to overcome a particular problem. And sometimes we need to find tools that will aid in our overcoming, helping us to get out of that funk and return ourselves to the proper focus. So nothing new. We've heard this kind of thing before. However, well, I'm going to tell to you again. We need to use the tools that are available. And here are some of them. And we're familiar with the first two. Number one, prayer. No one is greater than God, and no one knows more about our individual lives than God. He can do anything and is willing and able to work through us to bring you and me as one of his children, each of us, one and each and every one of us as children, to glory. There's no end to his mercy. To study. And of course, we have this every time we have the opportunity to speak about it. Study. Well, you know, David pored over the scriptures and referred to them as a lamp unto his feet, a light unto his path. The Bible is filled with instruction on numerous situations. I found something while I was away from Omaha for a year, and it was highly recommended to keep track of our schedules, our projected lives, and even to use as an aid to overcoming a certain situation in our lives. Let's call it a journal. I know most of us feel, I'm very reluctant to write down anything like this because I'm afraid somebody will read it. Something can be used against us. Well, you can keep it safe. You can keep it locked up in a lockbox and or in a safe. And only bring it out when you feel like you're needing to record something in it. And you can go in there and write down these personal deep thoughts about what's happening, why you think it's happening, what you found in the scriptures and conversations about why the problem exists, what to do about it. The key is to use it, write in it, refer to it often. You can chart your progress. Then there's another step in case you need additional help. It's called a mentor or a counselor. We know that is our pastor, ministers, elders. Someone you can trust to keep confidences. They can ask you from time to time how you're progressing, how you're doing, and offer tips if you need them, if you want them, as to what more you can do. You know, being a mentor is an easy hit. You're going to use somebody and trying to select one who isn't a pastor, a minister, you find somebody who can keep confidence, something you can trust. We need to be careful as mentors not to say the wrong things to people and bring on further hurt more than what they're already going through. We've all heard statements, and I'm going to give you some personal examples of myself and how I grew up. We've all heard statements like, grow up. Put on your big boy pants and act like an adult. Welcome to my world, when people tell about their problems. That makes people reluctant to open up. And that's all part of being a Christian. Things like that. Well, there may be a time and a place for that, but not when someone's suffering and hurting. When they're hurting or trial, there's a need to be kind. You need compassionate, sensitive, and understanding. Look at how God has dealt with us over the years. After all, he didn't just trash us every time we did something wrong. Those things will help bring us back into focus if we practice this. We sometimes think that the apostle didn't suffer like we did. Well, he did, and sometimes more. And the one that keeps coming to mind is the apostle Paul. He not only suffered from physical maladies like the one he mentioned foremost, a thorn in the flesh. He went to God 3 times and asked to be relieved of it, and God let him know in no uncertain terms, my grace is sufficient. Bear it. Paul was shipwrecked at times, spending nights in a cold, almost suffering hypothermia. He suffered persecution and being stoned, left for dead. Well, did he give up? Or back off from his responsibilities? Absolutely not. He considered his sufferings a badge of honor. We can do that same thing, can't we? He proceeded to do the work that he was called to do while enduring all of this. The other apostles did the same. He didn't lose his focus. He even said that we should follow him as he followed Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And to further that, 1 Peter 2:21, something we remember, it's a memory scripture. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. So we follow the apostles, the leadership, as in follow Christ. We should focus on doing the work that we are called to do. But our work isn't merely getting into the kingdom, as some of us might have supposed in the past, and not hardly. There's more to it than that. We must support the ministry and their work, feeding and tending to the flock locally, supporting the writers of the study aids at the home office, the presenters of the on-date messages, etc., supporting in our prayers, tithes, and offerings. Sometimes we might send cards of encouragement, and saying, hey, I'm glad to have you on board. I really appreciate the work that you submitted to doing for God. We support our local congregations in ways sometimes that the world may think unnecessary or frivolous, but I'll leave that to you to think about later. Sometimes all we can do about a situation is pray. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. This can shift our minds back off the physical again, which is only temporary, and looks forward to the end. We have to look forward to the end, the goal, the end result of what we're doing. We also pray about our own needs at times too. We don't ever want to forget that, because we're not masochistic. So we look at Matthew 7:7 and Luke 11:9. And tell us to give us our daily bread. Give us our needs. Take care of us. We all have obligations to meet, like work, school, church attendance, fellowship, helping someone in need, inside and out of the church, making repairs at home, on our cars, etc., shopping for our needs. Sometimes we find ways to get so wrapped up in what we're doing that we forget. Well, you promise somebody that we do something for them. Or we get so busy that we consciously put off doing something so it will never be done when it's supposed to be done. And we shirk our duty. Well, I've done that. Before we realize that the time has slipped away, the obligation has not been met, we get angry at ourselves, which I do and have done. We get angry about the situation. But getting angry isn't wrong. It's all right. As long as we don't stay that way, don't stay angry. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Be careful not to lose your focus, in other words. It's easier said than done. We know. We always come back with that. It's easier said than done. But that's where the tools I mentioned earlier come in handy. At baptism, we promised God that we would have a relationship with Him. Is that still our focus today? Do we rise in the morning eagerly and say, good morning, Lord? Or do we roll out of bed and find ourselves on the wrong side of the bed, the bottom side? We say, good Lord, morning. Well, we should be more enthusiastic about worshiping our God and having that relationship with Him. How would it be, how would it feel as parents if our children came up to us and go, I really don't want to talk to you right now? We've had that happen, haven't we? And we felt that way with our parents too. I don't know what to say. Well, go to God and have that conversation with Him too. Tell Him you don't know what to say, to inspire you, give you the words to say. You've had disagreements with people, suffered from inconveniences, had trials you wish you could overcome, but are having difficulty doing so. But has it caused you to dwell negatively on it, like I've done? I've had a problem with self-deprecation for most of my life, and I've been working on using these tools that I mentioned. Dwelling on the problems can hinder our spiritual growth. We need to be careful not to let the files, the issues, our thoughts and attitudes to rule our lives. We may be getting out of focus at times and need to bring ourselves back into focus on what God wants from us. Many have had to do that, and I'm doing that. I'm trying. I haven't made it completely yet, but I'm trying. I'm working at it. Refer to your notes from last Sabbath from Mr. Brian and Mr. Bales. Those are two excellent messages. You can meditate on those. In overcoming, using the four tools, I had to say, I grew up in an atmosphere where some parents unintentionally taught their children to be negative. They spoke in terms like, children should be seen and not heard. You've all heard that one. We know that one very well. But My father went on, I don't mean anything negative about him. He didn't understand. He said, most of the time, children should not even be seen. So get out of here. Number two, can't you do anything right? Or number three, you'll never amount to anything. We weren't coached in how to do something and how to do it right and do it better. It was our responsibility to learn from others and prove that parent wrong when they said, you can't do that. We had to have the attitude or adopt it and say, oh yeah, look what I accomplished. Is it any wonder some of us resort to self-deprecation like I did? And that's not the way God deals with us. He didn't deal with us like our parents did, out of ignorance. So we learn lessons on how to break that chain, that cycle where we grew up in, and learn to teach our own children properly. Love them, encourage them, nurture them. I did find a way, as I said, to help me to overcome this and using those tools that I mentioned. And as I said, I'm not done with it yet. I haven't put the book away or shredded it through a way that incriminating evidence from getting into the hands of the wrong people. You know, Christ taught how to understand more clearly what God expects from us. He gave parables that he explained to the apostles and disciples, like the old wineskins versus the new wine. Have you ever stopped to think about that one? Take a little bit of time here because I think it needs to be explained. Old wineskins aren't flexible. Neither is the society around us. The new wine is compared to the word that he preached at that time, and we're preaching to the world now. The world can't accept it. It'd be like new wine and old skin. It bursts from it. Could not accept it. He gave parables on planting and harvesting as well. Now the seed can't grow into the plant that it's supposed to become until it's planted in the ground. God's seed, God's spirit, is planted in us and forms a new creature to grow and pop out of the soil, you might say, into that plant that's going to bear fruit, the kind of fruit that He wants from us. So what should we be doing? Something we can do to help us calm us while we're having trials. And I know this particular thing works because it's endorsed by God's word. Turn to Philippians 4:8. That's something that was brought out in the sermonette. Let's see if I can find the date here. June 29th of 2019, Mr. R.K. Whitehead gave a sermon that day, and the topic of it was a matter of perspective. And I remembered that particular scripture from that time and tried to apply that to myself. This is something we ought to memorize the principle of, if not the entire wording of it. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or focus on these things. As we close, focus on that principle. Try to memorize the principle, as I said, if not the words. But get that ingrained into us. Think about it when we're going through some downtime, some funk that we're in. And you'll find it changes your attitude quite a bit. In that scripture, brethren, we have to do whatever it takes. Think about those things, whatever are noble, just, pure, virtuous. Meditate on them. The Apostle Paul and the other apostles went through some very severe trials, many trials, in fulfilling their mission to go into the world and make disciples in all nations. We see that in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Acts 1, 18. But instead of focusing on things that were going bad in their lives and in their mission, and things were going against them, instead of focusing merely on getting into the kingdom themselves, they turned their focus to the job ahead of bringing many sons to glory. We can do the same thing, taking our minds off of myself, pity for me, get up our pity pot, and start focusing on the job that needs to be done. We should do as the apostles and the early disciples did. It's all a matter of focus.